Fondation Radio. Our society has been wrecked by economic improprieties, political maneuvers, moral decadence, and debasing sociocultural practices. In the face of these vices, which have kept our society at the brink of collapse, constructive information remains the deal breaker. Join our formidable team of reporters on News Extra with incisive investigative reporting and analysis tailored to reshape our society and give it a moral face. News Extra is a production of the news service of Foundation Radio that uncovers striking societal concerns and demystifies them. Get the deepest understanding about economic, political, and sociocultural issues in News Extra. News Extra, your window to constructive criticism. Fondation Radio.
Hello there. Welcome to this week's edition of News Extra on Fondation Radio. We are broadcasting from Bamenda, chief town of the Northwest region of Cameroon, on FM 100. It is a special edition with Randy Joosa, Situation Room, and the free thinker Tapang Ivo Tanku, who would be filing in from the United States of America on laptop regime and its failed opposition. For presentation, I am Mokun Johnny Nelson. Following recent rumors and some newspaper reports that the SDF was bracing up to endorse its vice chairman, Honorable O.C. Joshua, as the party's front runner for the next presidential election, in place of veteran ace chairman Ni John Frundi, there were great expectations following a National Executive Committee NEC meeting of the party last weekend. I was present at the NEC meeting, and five issues caught my curiosity. Firstly, it is the plenary declaration of Chairman Ni John Frundi, who sarcastically responded to those who were clamoring that the aging party leadership should give way to the young.
Give me an account of your stewardship as a parliamentarian. I know that in the early days when I had to go around to take stocks of what people were doing on the field, I got Tundu, in particular, the mayor, the parliamentarian, they ran because they had nothing to show me. I got to Douala, Longsi, ran. He had nothing to show. I wanted to visit other areas. The people blocked me. Yet these are the young people that we've sent to parliament, sent to council, sent to this. I did not go to parliament to be fighting for positions in parliament with you. Neither did I go to Senate to be fighting for positions with people. Nor did I go to the council to fight or to be a mayor. I wanted the young people to grow. So, we want all these young people to grow because we want to see the men and women of responsibility tomorrow. Men who can take this country and give an account. Sometimes you people behave in a way that I think that we just want to change Mr. Bia and maybe do worse things. I will not accept. We want young, responsible people who are willing to work dedicatedly. Some of you cannot even organize your electoral districts. Some of you don't belong to electoral districts. You come sit here. When you behave otherwise, they talk, you say, I'm a NEC member. A NEC member should be seen by the action, your activities on the field. We want the young to grow in an honest way, not in a dishonest way. And the young in the SDF that I want to grow should grow in the honest way, not in dishonest ways. And if you are carrying dishonest activities, to think that you can go to the population to say the young must grow, Frundi doesn't want the young to grow, I will stand up too on the podium and expose you. People that want to use words to intimidate, your words will not intimidate me.
Yes, the chairman, by saying he will not yield to any intimidation, may have actually intimidated one of the pretenders to the party's top job. Honorable O.C. Joshua, whose name has been circulating extensively as youthful enough, declared his unflinching loyalty to his party chairman, Nijon Frundi.
There are people who believe that they can bring in a debate about a presidential election that is going to happen in 2018, when we don't even know whether Cameroon will still exist by then. So right now what we're doing in the Social Democratic Front is taking care of reorganization. And so I take every other thing as a distraction. And today, with all your questions, I just understood that something that I was taking for granted is a distraction that has a whole plan. And if people believe that they can put me in a position where I will try to talk against my political party or my national chairman, they're just wasting their time. I know where I stand. I am the first vice. He's the national chairman. I have all due respect for him. I am a member of the Social Democratic Front.
That was the second curiosity of the day. Is O.C. Joshua frank in his declaration? Only time will tell. Frundi's last son, Benjamin Frundi, is my next interest. He is a councillor of the Bamenda 2 Council. He is also a ground councillor of the Bamenda City Council. Those are his two public official portfolios. During the NEG meeting, it was Ben who read a petition launched by the SDF to gather 20,000 signatures to press for the release of former Ivorian President Laurent Gbagbo.
In the late 90s, the people of Cote d'Ivoire aspired for change, and after a tumultuous transition, my friend and brother Laurent Gbagbo was democratically elected as President of the Republic of Ivory Coast. The SDF had accompanied the FPI during its long march to liberate the Ivorian people, and my brother has been a true brother all along as we shared the same ideals. That is why I launched this appeal for the release of this true son of Africa, not only as a friend, but also as someone who believes in justice.
We are yet to establish whether Ben read the declaration as the son of Chairman Frundi, or his son and private secretary, or in official party posture. No matter the position, such a public outing are strong indications that Chairman Frundi, or should I say the SDF party, was grooming Ben Frundi to take up more important challenges in the party in future. Lofty though, there is need to buy your kerosene before dusk. But at times, certain declarations from some top officials of the party are both shocking and embarrassing. Listen to this statement from SDF Vice Chairman O.C. Joshua, the purported presidential hopeful.
I am sincerely disappointed with all of you present here because one of the main objectives of this National Executive Committee was the fact to launch a petition to liberate a great freedom fighter for Africa. Those are the things that occupy me. And I guess only about four or five of you, I see you, about 40 of you here, or 30 or 20, only four or five of you signed that petition. So you cannot be on the side of liberators and at the same time shy away because you are afraid of your employers and so on. You have to take your responsibilities. It's not Joshua Osi who will give you a better job. It's not Joshua Osi who will come and liberate this country. It's you. What we're doing, we're just doing politics to show you the way. And we showed you the way today. We said sign a petition for it to go worldwide, for it to go viral, so that we claim 20 million signatures for that petition to be able to liberate Mr. Gbagbo. You didn't do it. And I'm very disappointed. And I hope that the Cameroonian people will not take the example from the media.
One is tempted to ask Honorable O.C., who told you that the pressmen that you counted were SDF militants? Even if they were, everyone has a right to his or her decision to sign your petition or not. That too is democracy, Mr. Honorable Osi. Let me end with the Frundis, Nijon, and son Ben. Posterity may acclaim youthful Ben for successes of the party that will evidently impact positively on this country. The same posterity will certainly also indict him for any failures, even if the father, Nijon Frundi, wants to plead otherwise, because he is, from all indications, Ben Frundi, part and parcel of the party's policies and politics.
What the American presidential candidate Trump said was that they will kill the terrorists and kill their families. They are saying what they've been practicing. Because if we look at the attack on Iraq, they killed Saddam Hussein, chased his family, killed, and even grandchildren. In Libya, Gaddafi, they killed Gaddafi, killed his children, some of his children, those that they could catch, he killed. Grandchildren, they killed. And these are Bin Laden. When they killed Bin Laden, they went to his family and tried to destroy everything. And so we want to condemn this in very strong terms. That if me, Frundi, for instance, I launched a party in 1990, it was me as a person. And it had nothing to do with my children. And if you have to kill me, then you will kill me, kill Benjamin, kill everybody, all my children, destroy them. No, we say no to this approach to politics.
This is News Extra on Foundation Radio. Priscilla Ninga is there with the retrospective of the major news events of the week.
The week began on a youthful note within the region, with reports of 90 students having been graduated from the Cameron Christian University in Bali. And also adding encouragement to the youth was the NCF chairman Nijon Frundi's message to them during a national executive meeting NEC, in which he called on all youth to be more responsible if they want to rule Cameroon. The World Breastfeeding Week was launched in Bamenda, and a week-long campaign carried on to emphasize the importance of breast milk in the first 6 months of a child's life. Still in health within the region, a vaccination campaign was launched for cattle in all 7 divisions of the Northwest that will last for 2 months. The head of the region, Governor Adoffley Lafric, also called on business persons of the region to formulate policies and make suggestions to boost investment in the region. This was followed by a tripartite meeting between the traders of Bamenda, authorities of the Bamenda State Council, and the administration. This meeting came about after a recent strike action by some traders protesting against any attempts to increase the rent of market shares. On the national scene, Abbas Toli of Chadian nationality was appointed the new governor of the Bank of Central African States, BEAC. While commemorative activities marking the 54th edition of the Day of the African Woman, health with theme, promoting human rights with emphasis on women's rights, Cameroon reaffirms its commitment. The president of the Cameroon Employers Cartel, also known as JICAM in French, died Tuesday, with Frenchman Amel Francois appointed as a new head of the Cameroon Employers Cartel. A Cambridge University study revealed that brains of overweight people looked 10 years older than those of thinner meat. Rounding of the week within the nation was the release of information that new conditions have been put in place to govern issues of some official identifications. This included documents like the National ID Card, Residence Permit and Entry Visas, amongst others. Out of Cameroon, Tunisia's parliament passed a vote of no confidence against the country's Prime Minister Habib Essid for failing to push through economic reforms, while a 40-year-old Nigerian was arrested for scamming over 40 billion francs CFA through the internet. This was ongoing as the Tanzanian government was preparing to appeal against a historic ruling which allowed marriage for children under the age of 16. Nigeria's secret police sealed some offices in the country's House of Representatives due to alleged misuse of budget by senior MPs. A split also emerged within the leadership of Boko Haram, while in South Africa, President Jacob Zuma failed to win elections in his home district of Nkandla. In sports, authorities of the Confederation of African Football, CAF, confirmed Cameroon's readiness to organize the Women's African Cup of Nations in Cameroon in November. This was after an inspection visit. Equatorial Guinea was expelled for the next three editions of the Africa Cup of Nations for using a player with forged documents. Those were some of the events that made news this week.
It would not be an overstatement to say that Cameroonian nationality has been auctioned. Thousands, if not millions of foreigners, especially Nigerians, Chadians, Malians and Central Africans who have not naturalized possess the Cameroonian nationality. After establishing and uncovering such a racket, government seems bent on protecting Cameroonian nationality. A new company, French company Gemalto, is expected to start producing identified documents that are galvanized against falsification, ID cards, refugee status cards, residence permits, and professional cards of staff of the General Delegation of National Security. Lanze Vela, in the following paper, revisits some of the weaknesses of the old identification process in the hope that the worm does not infect the new providers.
The new identification system that has been launched with Gemalto is a drive to ensure the security of civil status documents, since falsification and other related malpractices had made Cameroonian nationality accessible to foreigners with sometimes malicious intentions. In the recent past, these worries abounded, especially as cross-border insecurity perpetrated by the terrorist sect Boko Haram and armed former rebel groups from the Central African Republic was at its peak. The need to identify such criminals, often embedded in communities, had to first of all start with protecting the national identification system to prevent them from gaining access. A reason the government had to sign a contract with a new company to take responsibility for this imperative task, since the former company Thales System breached the trust invested in it, as it was heavily found guilty of issuing ID cards to non-Cameroonian nationals, even though the fact that it is another foreign company that has been contracted for this second phase of more secured ID card production is in itself another controversy. And for Gemalto to succeed fully, it has to exercise high-level technology, which it has promised already, coupled with the respect of trust it has earned, else errors and mishaps of the past will be repeated. Gemalto therefore has to reflect on the shortcomings of its predecessor in order to avoid going its way. It should be recalled that a Cameroonian police inspector in Marwa was accused of having distributed 2,500 national ID cards to Boko Haram militants from Nigeria, who used them to gain access into Cameroon and infiltrated the population of Fotokol, where they carried out grave massacres. This puzzled many Cameroonians if they really went through all the necessary procedures at the judiciary to get the document, once again underlining the weakness of the system, as it is very evident that security process was breached at some point, and this is a major challenge that awaits Gemalto.
A major challenge indeed, Lanze Vela. Laptop regime and its failed opposition. What an apt, succinct caption to the situation prevailing in Cameroon at the moment. Tapang Aibo Tanku is a Cameroonian and a Fulbright scholar on security issues in the United States of America. Besides the mixed feelings that met the presidential offer of 500,000 laptops to university students, he feels that the country's opposition may be failing in defending the integrity of this nation. The Free Thinker by Tapang Aibo Tanku.
July 2016 has had a rough ride in Cameroon politics. The distribution of 500,000 laptops to university students in the country, obtained on a loan from Exim Bank of China, has sent shockwaves across the entire West African nation. It came with so much dissatisfaction, discontent, dismay, and mixed feelings. What appeared to be a political campaign for the extension of President Paul Biya's 34-year rule was finally unveiled this August when some youths claiming to be university students in the capital cities of Yaoundé and Bamenda took to the streets in support of the Yetunde move. The move was never approved by Parliament in the first place. It is not only completely an illegal move, but it violates the rule of law and democratic accountability processes in a struggling anocracy. But that is not my focus. I am much more concerned about the sluggish attitude of Cameroon's opposition parties in the wake of such political attacks on the integrity of the nation. And the main opposition party, the SDF, should receive the hardest hit. I will explain. From every logical understanding and following popular opinions, this is where the regime went wrong. Providing laptops in an entire package at a whopping 75 billion francs CFA without Parliament's approval. It was approved by an individual, Paul Biya. After all, Louis XIV brought France to its peak of absolute power with his words, "L'État c'est moi, I am the state." Providing laptops to students enrolled only for the 2016 academic year. The laptops will not be provided in the following years, citing the communique. What a waste of state resources. These laptops should be given to universities who are better placed to manage the resources for the current and future batches of students. Most students could sell the laptops and travel abroad to fulfill their wishful thinking. Who gains and who loses? It is a misplaced priority. Does the regime listen and heed to the plight of youths, including university students? What father will give a son a stone if he asks for bread or a snake if he asks for fish? Sample opinions randomly from all youths, including students. Most will choose job creation and the liberalization of the private sector above any other thing else. I ran a small survey on my public Facebook page with thousands of followers, and this confirmed my assertion. Having a laptop is one thing, and searching for better opportunities is another. By the way, laptops don't create opportunities. Governments do. They are only enabling and can facilitate job and opportunity search in governments where the jobs and opportunities are already there. Ask why most online scamming take place abroad and not home. The avenues homes are narrow. These laptops would facilitate scamming and dent the image of Cameroon abroad even more. In 2010, McAfee noted that Cameroon's .cm browser overtook Nigeria as the world's most dangerous site for internet browsing. Nigeria came first in 2007, according to McAfee. Public libraries are ill-equipped and are completely absent in some state universities like the University of Bamenda. And with an erratic and feeble supply of internet on campus, the absence of an online library access in Cameroon, plagiarism could peak. In fact, from every logical and empirical standpoint, handing over 500,000 laptops to students is one of the most dubious and biggest scams that has ever taken place in Cameroon in recent years. Teachers and lecturers lack adequate research facilities to build the capacity of students, yet some 500,000 students are being favored for some political gerrymandering. By the way, does Cameroon have up to 500,000 university students? If the march by students took place in Yaoundé alone, that could have been explained by the fact that it is Mr. Biya's stronghold. But simultaneously, it was held in Bamenda on the same day and at the same time. Is it not politically motivated? Reports confirmed that students confessed being paid by some state officials to carry banners in support of Mr. Biya. But I have a big problem with the SDF, whose stronghold is Bamenda. It is a disgrace for such a thing to take place in Bamenda and go unperturbed. assassination, paramilitary activity, sabotage, coup d'etat, insurgency, revolution, guerrilla warfare, and civil war are among several political warfare and tactics used by actors in political games. The SDF could have rationally chosen sabotage above all other options and not only stay mute. The SDF could have quickly rallied its supporters, students in Bamenda, to protest and choke the propaganda that took place in its own neighborhood. Or was John Frundi afraid of the backlash from his irresponsible comment he attacked youths with during his 75th birthday celebration? It is ludicrous for the SDF to sit and cry in its own town. Social media poured anger against the student support for Mr. Beer. The SDF could have quickly seized the opportunity in this case. Why is SDF habitually slow? Communications within the SDF is very weak, and from every empirical standpoint, its online communication is a blunder. When was the last time the SDF's chairman, John Frundi, updated his Facebook page? It was in 2011. Beer, on his part, lastly updated his Facebook page a few hours ago. And these are political rivals. Paul Beer enjoys nearly 400,000 Facebook followers, while Frundi is struggling within 1,000. Why should the SDF as a party be basking Frundi in his 1990 glories? We are not living in the 1990s today. Many of us were not born or were still kids, and so such memories are not important to us. According to the 2016 CIA World Factbook, Cameroon has more than 1.6 million internet users. A majority are Facebook subscribers of voting age. Facebook is a huge communications tool and can greatly complement offline communications if well managed. Most of our opposition parties are too slow to act and do not adequately have a grip on communication strategy. The SDF should sit down and recruit the right people for the communications job. It is not only about talking on traditional media, printing out flyers and banners, or organizing conferences and meetings. Anyone can do that. It is about rolling out robust communication strategies while having the ability to predict, explain, and suggest empirically. My name is Tapang Ivo Tanku, the Freethinker.
Tapang Ivo Tanku is a journalist and he is currently a Fulbright scholar on security issues in the United States of America. The word fart is often considered unsuitable in formal situations as it may be considered vulgar or offensive. Wudong gas, it is commonly said in Pidgin, and is always the hushing statement in case of any unusual sound or smell within a group. But in today's Situation Room, Randy Joe Saa has this message for us: be happy when you fart.
Hi there. Welcome to Situation Room. My name is Randy Josa. In today's edition, I'll tell you why you should be happy when you fart, or as people are wont to say, when you gas. Whilst growing up in Bamenda, we would hear adults talk about common etiquette. Talk while eating, coughing without covering your mouth, or burping was bad manners. It was an abomination to fart in the presence of an elder. Belching or letting out air from your stomach through your mouth in a noisy way in front of people was disrespectful. Even hiccuping was deemed bad behavior. Farting was unthinkable in the presence of people. Yet, burping, hiccups and farts are essential bodily functions that cannot be avoided. There was this tale about a white man who died in a market suddenly because he had held back his fart for too long. At the time, every white man was a symbol of civility, as he would rather hurt himself than scratch his pride. And as pride goes before a fall, this proverbial white man crumbled in the market, uncontrollably letting off so much fat that market women laughed to their fill. As children, we were puzzled. Why hold back ordinary fat, whereas one usually felt some relief and a sort of joy each time he or she released gas through the back door? Science tells us that fat is made up of methane hydrogen in bacteria-produced gas, and so is highly flammable. In rare cases, a buildup of flammable gases in the intestines have caused explosions during intestinal surgeries. It is Charlene Dichia who once mentioned that when you sleep, you are actually practicing to die. Beverly Jenkins goes further to state that one can't escape passing out wind even after you are dead. Up to 3 hours after the body dies, gases continue to escape from both ends of the digestive tract, resulting in burping or farting noises. So if you clench your butt and hold them all day, the gas will escape once you relax. And what's more relaxing than sleep or practicing to die? By the way, most fat occurs when we are asleep. However, it is not a nice idea to hold back your fat, even if it can really harm you. At worst, it could cause hemorrhoids and distended bowels. Interestingly, the noise or smell from farting usually attracts curious reactions from people. Most times, folks get embarrassed, annoyed, or even laugh when you fart. As such, you try hard sometimes to release it slowly and less noisily. So you could end up with a sound like psss. That is the silencer, as people describe it. In other situations, no matter how hard you try, the gas will pop out from your bum. Poom. I call that champagne or prat. Funny? The loudness of your fart may depend on how much pressure is behind the gas. Whatever the reaction, don't worry. Even the Queen of England and presidents fart. Indeed, farting is serious business, and there is much more you should know other than the sound and funny smell that come out from the bum. Here are some of the facts about the wind from the anus. Did you know that men fart more than women? An average person farts around 14 times a day. Those 14 farts a day are enough to fill up a balloon. Experts advise that this is not something to be embarrassed about, as it means that you are healthy. A healthy digestive tract produces fats. If you are not farting at all, go to the doctor. When we eat or drink, we also swallow air. Also, when the food gets digested in the intestines, gas is produced. Ever wondered why your fat is most smelly when you eat beans, cabbage, eggs, cheese, and soda? That's because they are rich in sulfur. You sure have heard stories about people polluting commuter buses with atomic bomb fats, which left passengers cursing or gasping for fresh air. Yet, scientists say smelling fats can be healthy. Thus, next time you fart, take a nice deep breath and thank the person. Female fats tend to be stinkier, as females have higher concentration of hydrogen sulfide. Female fats are healthier to smell. Fats go as fast as 10 feet per second, or 3.05 meters per second. If you had very tight anal sphincter, you will produce louder farts, as they have smaller, tighter area to squeeze out from. Gum and soda make you fart more. Thus, if you know someone who farts a lot, and they drink a lot of soda and chewing gum, hide it from them. So you are right to blame termites for a great deal of global warming. Camels, zebras, sheep, cows, elephants, and dogs follow next. When farting becomes disruptive to a person's life, it could be a sign of gastrointestinal illnesses like Crohn's disease. People suffering from Crohn's disease often pass out smelly farts and lack the ability to keep from doing so. As tiny as termites are, they produce the most fat than other animals. So you are right to blame termites for a great deal of global warming. Camels, zebras, sheep, cows, elephants, and dogs follow next. Last line. If someone is unpleasant, boring, and stupid, call him a fat. Your dictionary will agree with you.
Randy Joe's situation room: when your stomach is full fat, let it go.
are people who can walk away from you. And hear me when I tell you this. When people can walk away from you, let them walk. I don't want you to try to walk another person into staying with you, loving you, calling you, caring about you, coming to see you, staying attached to you. I mean hang up the phone. When people can walk away from you, let them walk. Your destiny is never tied to anybody that left. The Bible said that they came out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not for us. For had they been of us, no doubt they would have continued with us. People leave because they are not joined to you. And if they are not joined to you, you can't make them stay. Let them go. And it doesn't mean that they are a bad person. It just means that their part in the story is over. And you've got to know when people's part in your story is over so that you don't keep trying to raise the dead. You've got to know when it's dead. You've got to know when it's over. Let me tell you something. I've got the gift of goodbye. It's the 10th spiritual gift. I believe in goodbye. It's not that I'm hateful. It's that I'm faithful. And I know whatever God means for me to have, He'll give it to me. And if it takes too much sweat, I don't need it. Stop begging people to stay. Let them go. If you're holding on to something that doesn't belong to you and was never intended for your life, then you need to let it go. If you're holding on to past hurts and pains, let it go. If someone can't treat you right, love you back, and see your worth, let it go. If someone has angered you, let it go. If you're holding on to some thoughts of evil and revenge, let it go. If you're involved in a wrong relationship or addiction, let it go. If you're holding on to a job that no longer meets your needs or talents, let it go. If you have a bad attitude, let it go. If you keep judging others to make yourself feel better, let it go. If you're stuck in the past and God is trying to take you to a new level in Him, let it go. If you're struggling with the healing of a broken relationship, let it go. If you keep trying to help people who won't even try to help themselves, let it go. If you're feeling depressed and stressed, let it go. If there is a particular situation that you are so used to handling yourself and God is saying, take your hands off it, then you need to let it go. Let the past be the past. Forget the former things. God is doing a new thing for you. Let it go. Get right, get left. Think about it and then let it go. The battle is the Lord's. Next, stop and think and appreciate God's power in your life for doing what you know is pleasing to Him. Yes, I love my God. He is my fountain of life and my Savior. He keeps me going day and night. Without Him, I am no one. But with Him, I can do everything. Christ is my strength. This is a simple test. If you love God and you are not ashamed of all the great things that He has done for you, send this to everyone you know. God loves you and watches over you every day.
This is News Extra on Foundation Radio. We are broadcasting on FM 100 in Bamenda, in the chief town of the Northwest region of Cameroon. I am Mokun Johnny Nelson at the anchor. Another edition of the World Breastfeeding Day has come and gone. This year had as theme breastfeeding, a key to sustainable development. Whatever that is supposed to mean, Christopher Fogwe, who seems to have a soft spot for breasts, excuse the joke, is a natural candidate to say a thing or two on this edition of News Extra.
Breastfeeding is an issue of such primordial importance to society that it should not be the preoccupation of just women and pediatricians. In fact, the issue of breastfeeding should be taken even more seriously than ever by the men who in today's world need to go the extra mile in the baby's interests to negotiate with today's modern woman, many of whom insist on holding full-time jobs even if it means compromising their baby's right to be exclusively and satisfactorily breastfed by them. An 8-hour job deprives the baby of the possibility of being fed at satisfactory intervals or on demand. Some women try to persuade their husbands to let them scale down the breastfeeding of their babies to the barest minimum, supposedly to maintain their form and stay attractive and desirable to the men. But as some such women have found out to their greatest dismay, keeping fit and trim for her man at the expense of the baby's well-being usually proved counterproductive, because an often screaming and not too healthy looking baby may just be the reason, if any is needed, for the man to stay away from home in a comfort zone where they may even fall prey to some of the women who turn out to be home wreckers. Most men who have had more than one baby will readily testify that their wives are much more desirable during that period when they compete with the baby over the mother's most precious gift, and when they compete with the mother to dote over and take credit for the wholesomeness, radiance, and healthy glow of happy and delightful babies. But what I have been saying so far concerns the woman who prefers not to occupy herself meaningfully on activities that allow her the freedom to manage her time flexibly and pay enough attention to the baby and breastfeed her like she is supposed to. After all, she is called Mama because the good Lord endowed her with the mammary glands that make her the most cherished, endearing, and caring creature in this world.
Daddy Chris, I love the way you put it when you said, mother and father dote over who to take credit for the wholesomeness, radiance, and healthy glow of a happy and delightful babies. For how long will some Bamenda city dwellers breastfeed their babies? Get this vox pop conducted by Wunja Losley.
I would prefer that a mother breastfeed a child for 12 months, at least 12 months, because breast milk is a complete diet for the baby. It's a balanced diet. And when the mother is feeding the baby at that time, it also prevents the baby from malnutrition and from infection too.
My wife should breastfeed my child for 2 years, because after the breastfeeding, the child will be able to, the child grows up, child will be resistant to some diseases. The amount or the natural antibodies coming from the mother to the child help the child to be resistant to diseases in the future.
I still prefer that 2 years. 2 years, fine. So that the pikin will look fine too. Any person to enjoy a pikin way, if as you see, I'm say fine for you. Yes, you enjoy your pikin. If you leave pikin early, the pikin go, it go the weak. You know, they get the power. You know, be healthy.
At least 2 years. 2 years is preferable. When the child is growing well. But if the child is not growing well, don't remove the child. Breastfeed the child. Even if it's 3 years, there's no problem.
Well, because now my work, at least my work now work well. When my picking the rich, at least I never give my picking exclusive breastfeeding for 6 months. Then from that 6 months, I give a saggy chop. So I reach 9 months. It would chop all thing. So that I feel leafy. Come I walk now, sometimes at a close, sometimes for 12 o'clock. I know if it leaf give outside up to 12.
For me, I'll choose 1 year. So that I will make my picking at least that time it will look strong. We will work fine. Because we saw picking breastfeed picking for 6 months. It is fine, but it will make a picking really look strong that way. So at least 1 year. If it takes a lot of a try, 1 year.
Women breasts were not created only for fancy. the 2016 session of the GCE, the General Certificate of Education Board took care of the specificity of special needs students. Sir Edwin DiMaggio has been investigating on the impact this has had on their performances and put together this report.
The euphoria amongst candidates who sat for the General Certificate of Education examination, both ordinary and advanced level, this year's session did not escape persons with disabilities who were able to prove themselves worthwhile. Statistics hold that persons with disabilities were able to record a high performance at the advanced level. Meanwhile, candidates with disabilities witnessed a drop in their performances at the ordinary level. The Bamenda Special Center, the newest of all three special centers, recorded 67.67% pass at the advanced level and a 0% pass at the ordinary level. Meanwhile, the Kumbu Special Center was able to witness a 50% pass at the advanced level and still a 0% pass at the ordinary level. In Boya, persons with disabilities witnessed a 0% pass at the advanced level and a 50% pass at the ordinary level. These results prove that persons with disabilities can be able to emerge at the top, supposing the appropriate conditions are put in place for them to be able to function. This session of the examinations have produced the highest number of passes for persons with disabilities, as two people are found having five papers and only one with four papers. This usually has never been the case in the past years, where the maximum number of papers we've had are three. Kesa Princely, Kum G. Desmond, and Carlo Gideon are candidates who made it at this year's General Certificate of Education, both advanced and ordinary levels. They share their opinion as to what the special centers, most especially that of Bamenda, have been able to do as far as contributing to their success in this year's examination is concerned.
Kesa Princely, I sat for the advanced levels and I had five papers, and I'm very thankful that after 2 years of intense hard work, God has finally heard my prayer and I had five papers, and so I'm very happy. I wrote in GBHS Bamenda, and as a visually impaired candidate, I registered at the Bamenda Special Center. And so I want to also say that this special center has really aided not only me, but most of the visually impaired around town. And previously we used to move down to Kumbu, and that really used to give us a lot of stress, but that stress I think has been reduced this year, given that we wrote in GBHS Bamenda. And I want to also appreciate the GCE board, because we're given brave papers this year, unlike the previous years when we had no papers. And so I want to appreciate the board for having given us brave papers or writing materials this year.
I'm Carlo Gideon, a student of GBHS Bamenda, a visual impaired. I went in for 8 papers in the ordinary level, and I had 4 papers, and I want to actually say kudos to the GC board for having provided us this time around with writing materials, what has never happened before. Like in the previous years, we used to buy our writing materials, but this year they have come out to say they want us to use writing material which we provided by them. Boom, we are very happy for that.
I am Kumji Desmond. I sat for the advanced level this year. I made it in flying colors, 4 subjects and 13 points. I'm very, very happy, because after the
struggle, the 9 months of hard work, I finally succeeded. This center, in particular the special center, has helped me quite much because it has reduced my distance from maybe from going to Kumbu, an area that I'm not so used to with.
Here are as well the remedies they prescribe for the GCE board in the subsequent examinations.
Even though the GCE board has done a lot, you know, to persons with visual impairment, I want to think that if the GCE board will also want to be a stakeholder of inclusive education, then we should scrap off these special centers so that those who will stay, you know, far away from Bamenda or Kumbu, maybe those in Furawa, they can be able to write with their own sighted peers, not necessarily moving out of area of resident, because when they move, the tendency is that they are psychologically disturbed, and then may also influence their writing.
Now, the others who are not around town, certainly they are still facing some difficulties. So what I think is that the DC board should actually embrace inclusive education as stated. Therefore, they should wipe off the special center so that we can register in any school wherever we are. And of course, we can write with our sighted peers together so that it will really be that we have emerged as far as this inclusive education is concerned.
Disability, they say, is not inability. Hence, if Cameroon must emerge by 2035, the 15% of its population living with disabilities must never be left behind. So then, inclusive education is a priority. But if inclusive education should be a priority, then inclusive examination must be the topmost priority.
Sir Edwin DiMaggio there in that report. Makebe Gertrude, ASMAC student on internship here at Foundation Radio, had the password to our mailbox this week and shall be reading the letters during after this transition. Our first letter is from Chef Philip. He's writing from Behind Travelers and he has this warning to commercial bike riders.
Dear News Extra, I write to advise our young bike riders to learn to attach some values to their lives. Most of them are always interested in overspeeding, wanting to overtake, most of the times at the wrong side, and these proves they seem to have no regard for the highway code. I'd also like to call on the drivers' union and authorities to make sure that the riders are qualified before they are allowed on the road. A blind man trying to cross the road with a white cane raised up was almost knocked down the other day, but for the intervention of onlookers. Please value your lives.
And Ba Suzi of Ndanga Junction is not happy with the constant power outages in Bamenda in the second litter.
Dear News Extra, at a time when Cameroon is striving for emergence, should electricity supply still pose much of a problem? Unfortunately, this is the case in the city of Bamenda. My son's house recently caught fire and lots of items destroyed as a result of the poor usage of candles during one of the usual electricity outages. Who shall then compensate for the damages incurred? something should be done and fast to remedy this problem of epileptic electricity supply.
Bamenda, roads are everybody's worry. John Sue, writing from Mile 4, Mankon, cannot be indifferent.
Dear News Extra, it is with much pain deep within that I decry the deplorable state of roads in the city of Bamenda of recent. I heard the government delegate to the Bamenda City Council say there is no sufficient funds to ensure the rehabilitation of these roads. When then shall the government stop this top-to-bottom approach of decision-making? When shall we ever have sufficient funds for the rehabilitation of our roads? Shall it be when pregnant women suffer from major complications on their way to the regional hospital for delivery? Or when accidents will be recorded in large numbers? Or when the death rate will increase due to these accidents around the Metakwatas, T Junction, hospital roundabout stretch of roads, just to name a few. God help us.
Yes, God will certainly help us. Keep your letter straight to the point in decent language without any insults and write to radio.foundation@yahoo.com or email radio.foundation@yahoo.com. You can drop your letter at our secretariat here in Mile 6, Mankon, Bamenda. You can also call us on any of the following numbers: 672-53-3990 or 695-568480. And since Foundation Radio is the voice of the voiceless, we shall without hesitation be at your service. Let's now visit the news stand and have a feeling of how our colleagues of the print media saw the evolution of news during the week. Wunja Leslie now presents our weekly press review.
We start this week's press review with the Guardian Post of Thursday, August 4th, which records that some Pentecostal pastors are cajoling President Paul Biya to seek re-election come 2018. The paper says this Pentecostal pastor's motion of support was made public barely a couple of days after the Director of Political Affairs at the Ministry of Territorial Administration and Decentralization informed governors that government was bent on carrying out a crackdown on churches without the authorization to function. Political squabbles between SDF and CPGM parties, which has marred Ndonga Mantung public investment budget execution, also caught the attention of the Times Journal newspaper within the week. The paper writes that out of 62 public investment projects earmarked for Ndonga Mantung, only 10 have been executed to completion point. Get more details on page 8 of the Times Journal. On page 3, the Post Weekender narrates that a man by name Patu, popularly known as Le Boss, gave his 30-year-old prostitute girlfriend snake beating at the mini farm neighborhood in Yaoundé for taking their 3-month-old baby girl out on a prostitution spree. Still in the Post, we are told that the environmental and social management plan of the Grassfield Support to Rural Infrastructures and Participatory Development, otherwise known as GP Derudep, has been approved by all stakeholders, drawing the attention of stakeholders that converged in Bengui Momo Division from July 20 to 22nd to avail themselves with the environmental and social impacts of the project. GP Derudep's project coordinator Gregory Mulu said the environmental policy of Grassfield 2 project has been anchored within the framework of sustainable development through a participatory mythology, says the Post newspaper. We end this week's press review with this feature story from the Times Journal. What are the signs that your relationship is going to fail? Get some tips. First, when you start playing games with your partner, know that it's a sign that your relationship is going to fail. When you never have fights or disagreements in your relationship, that is also another sign. Again, when you feel guilty all the time, it shows that your relationship may not be moving on well. Let's take the rendezvous next week for what the papers will have to say.
Rendezvous taken. Lanza Vela has our weekly scoreboard in which we evaluate the deeds and misdeeds of events and people depending on how it positively or negatively impacted society.
We are scoring high. The Minister of Secondary Education, Jean-Ernest Ngale Pipihe, for his relentless fight to sanitize the secondary education sector in Cameroon. As the 2016-2017 academic year is fast approaching, the minister has published a list of over 300 teachers who are requested to answer to charges of indiscipline leveled against them. They are accused of having boycotted functions, especially for being sent to areas that present little or no modernity, a common phenomenon the minister has been fighting against ever since he took over command at the helm of that ministry. There are also plans to equip and staff those schools that are deficient in both areas, with school minister Jean Ernest extremely high. Also featuring on our top score this week is the Ministry of Higher Education, headed by Jacques Famondongo. In results of a survey carried out, the Cameroon Association of Collective Interest of Defense, the ministry scores highest as a leading ministry that respects emblems of the country. The excellent result is highly saluted, given that it comes at a time when there is an acute fall in the respect of national signs and symbols across the country. Reason: the government some time ago launched a campaign to reignite the spirit of patriotism in Cameroonians, which scores Jacques Famondongo and his ministry extremely high.
With contributions from Priscilla Ninge, Wonja Leslie, Christopher Fogwe, Lanza Vela, Randy Joe Saa, Tampang Ivo Taanku, and student journalist Makebe Dretrud, that package was the best we could put together for your listening pleasure this week. Technical support came from Tendong Julius and Lawrence Wingo. Those who take advice from everybody and those who take advice from nobody are all foolish. Same time next week, I am yours, Mokun Johnny Nelson. Accept my blessed regards.